Now, we have been considering together for some time now the godly kings of Judah. A few weeks ago, we looked at Amaziah. And we continue our study of Amaziah. Second Chronicles, please. Chapter 25. In Chronicles chapter 25, starting at verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And for the mathematicians, what was his lifespan? How old was he when he died? He started at 25 and reigned 29 years. How old was he when he died? Nobody? How many? Well, that brings an important question here. We are here today and we are so many years old. How many more years do we have? Anybody? At least he knew how many more years he had. We don't know how many we have. Let us spend our time wisely. Verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And we looked at that. He was not wholehearted. How wholehearted are we? How sincere are we? How much do we really mean what we say when we say we love the Lord and we are serving the Lord? Are we wholehearted? It came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Even in destroying his enemies, he was guided by the word of God. And how important that we be guided by the word of God. I was going to say there is a war going on, a couple of wars, not a couple, a few. There are several wars going on. And we have our feelings and our desires, and we'd like to see certain people put down. How many of us would pray for? Is his name really not Avin? Who knows that? What's that? Osama bin Laden. How many of us have prayed for? God would have all men to be saved, including him. How many of us prayed for the Taliban? Oh, we want them to be beaten up. We want them to... God wants them to be saved. So that in our living for him, while we may be against the principles that these people stand for, God loves them. God would have all men to be saved. We do well. They need our prayers. Because if they go on with that religion that they have, they're going to end up in the bottomless pit. We read on. Moreover, verse 5, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. He numbered them from 20 years old and above, found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. And we saw this same thing in Jehoshaphat. We as believers are in a warfare, not a physical warfare. We don't use nuclear arms and all bacterial arms and that sort of thing. Our arms we find in Ephesians chapter 6. The breastplate of righteousness and the girdle of truth. And you know the one I like best? the helmet of salvation. We've got to be careful with all these isms and all these wrong teachings. Don't take that helmet off. Salvation is of the Lord. I have told you this. I feel inclined to repeat it. Oh, I was about 16 or 17 years old. And in New York City, there was a little fellow there. I call him Little. And he was out there preaching. And I mean, he preached the gospel. Held a Bible in one hand and an American flag in the other hand. And he preached the gospel. Then I went away for a year. Came back and saw this fellow in the distance. I said, let me go and hear what he's saying. Oh, my. You know what had happened to him? Took the helmet off. And there he had some newspapers in his hand and a red, black, and green flag in the other hand. And he was preaching racial equality. Keep his helmet on. Salvation is of the Lord, and the only hope for this world is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or anything else is going to fail. Let's read on. Verse 6. He hired. And that's what we want to talk about today. Hiring. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. Hiring people to do the Lord's work. There came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. The Lord is not with Israel, who are the children of Ephraim. If you will go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. God hath power to help and to cast down. Now look, see, Amaziah has hired him, see? Verse 9, Amaziah said to the man of God, what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army? I've already paid them. Oh my. What am I going to do? I've given them my money. Read on. And the man of God, verse 9, answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. I wonder why. You'd already paid them. Then he tells them, we don't need you. And they got angry. Hirelings are not interested in God's people or in the work of the Lord. Now, keep that page, please. We're going back to John 10. We've been studying that. Let's read again what the Lord has to say. Amaziah hired these men to fight for him. And the man of God said, you better give them back their money. Let them go. John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. And this is so lovely. It shows how the scriptures dovetail, how they fit in with each other. One of the things that thrills me is to see how the scriptures fit in with each other. There are no contradictions in the scripture. And whatever may look like a contradiction is due to our lack of knowledge. So let's read John chapter 10. I know you know it, but let's read it again. The word of God has a cleansing effect on individuals. Let's read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And there are plenty of them in the world today. In fact, there are plenty of them in the United States today. He that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When's the last time the Lord called your name? He calls the sheep by name. When's the last time he called? And this reminds me of Psalm 143. How many stars are there up in heaven? How many stars? Jeremiah tells us that you can't count them. And this great astronomer recently said that the stars are like the sands of the sea, you can't count them. That was in the book a long time ago. You're holding it in your hand, beloved. God's Word. And then we read in, what do you read in Psalm 143? Read it when you get home. Oh, the stars appeared. Yeah? Oh, they didn't appear. Psalm 143 tells me that God calls each one by name and they come out. How many are there? And he's got a name for everyone. Doesn't this thrill you? This is my God. And one day I'm going to see him. Every time you read the Bible, you should be free. But let's read on. Verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know his voice? I've told you this before. Bible class in New York. And we were talking about the voice of the Lord. And I saw a couple of the folks there nudging each other. We're going to get him. We're going to get him. Referring to me. As we, what does the voice of the Lord sound like? And there they were nudging each other. We've got him. And I said to one of the two young ladies, I said, will you stand and tell me and tell us what the voice of your mother sounds like so that whenever we hear it, we'll know it. I got her. She said, I can't. I said, but don't you know your mother's voice? Yes, well then tell us what it's like so I'll know it. Now I can't describe his voice, but I want to tell you something, I know it. Do you know it? And if so, when is the last time that he spoke to you? What did he say? But let's read on. You see how these various thoughts can come in? You read a little bit and you stop, thrilled with what's in the book. Verse 5 says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. They know not the voice of strangers. There are a lot of voices. Paul tells us that. Be careful of the voices. Whose voice are you following? Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I have to pause at that verse. Remember years ago, I was closing the Sunday school class and we had this portion for our lesson. And I said to the young people there are two doors in this verse. And one of the Sunday school teachers got very upset and said, there's only one door. I said, I know that. But there are two in this verse. Let's read. I am the door. Right? That's door number one. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Once you go in that door, you're safe, right? Now the next clause.
And shall go out and in? Is that what your Bible says? Because if you went out, you wouldn't be saved anymore.
You're in the first one, and then you go in and out, but you stay in the first one.
That's real nice. That takes us back to the tabernacle,
where you enter, and then you enter through another door into the holy place. And you go in and out in the holy place, but you stay within the first door. I don't know how you find this. I find this thrilling. This is lovely.
Shakespeare never wrote like this. None of those other fellows that wrote literature ever wrote like this. And with all due respect, the women that wrote literature never wrote like this either. This is God's word. Cherish it. Take care of the Bible. Study it. Heed on it.
But we go on. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Life to the full.
Real life. Have you got it? Everybody here has real, genuine life. Not this thing that these folks have. How did you spend the weekend? Oh, I had a wonderful weekend. What did you do? I was drunk all weekend. Is that life? Does that make sense? Thank God we have real life. And we can sit in this quiet room and read the Bible and feel good. Don't you feel good? The Bible. It's the only living book in the world. The others are dead books. This one's living. And as you read it and study it, you get stronger. It's our food. Let's read on.
Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, as we were saying this morning. Now, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, leave the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is an hireling and cares not for the sheep. Now come back to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. The hireling is not interested in the sheep. And Amaziah has hired some people to help him in the war with the Lord. Are they interested in the sheep? You don't even have to read it. You know they're not interested in the sheep. But let's read it. Verse 10. Then Amaziah separated them, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, and sent them home. And what happened when they were sent home? Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. They're hirelings. They're not really interested in the sheep. They're interested in what money they can make. And we have a lot of them in the world today. Verse 13. Look what the hirelings did. The soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah, from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil.
Hirelings, they're not interested. And we have a lot of hirelings in the world today.
You know one thing about these hirelings?
They're all great speakers. You have to watch when you listen to them. And you have to hear. They'll make you do things that you never thought you would do. I think of one hireling. He was numbered along with President Roosevelt and Winston Churchill as among the 10 best public speakers in the world. Would you like to hear him? You can't hear him now, he's dead. But I heard him. I heard him one Sunday morning. Turn to John chapter 1, please. And he said, my text will be taken from John chapter 1. And he read. Now you look in your Bible and see how your Bible reads. Now our brother's Bible is going to read the way I'm going to read it. But your Bible isn't going to read that way. In the beginning was the Logos. Is that what your Bible says? His Bible does. This was a great hireling, and he wanted the people to know that he knew something, and he knew some Greek. So in the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Oh, my, my, my. Great hireling. He read the whole chapter, and then he began to preach. What do you think he preached on from John chapter 1? I'll tell you. Racial equality. Do you see it in there? You see it in there? I don't. But he was a hireling. And I mean, he talked for an hour and a half and sounded good. Then I think of another hireling. Well, he was such a great hireling that the seminary at Harvard called him to head up their seminary. I heard him. I don't remember his name. Oh, he had one of those nice oratorical voices, you know? This morning, I am taking my text from a piece of poetry. Bible's not good enough. There were two leaves on the trees, on a tree. It was fall, and all the other leaves had been blown down. And leaf number one said to leaf number two, I am giving up. There's no point in staying here. I'm just going to fall. And leaf number two said, not so, my brother leaf. They're out to the end. And the people liked it. He was a great hireling. Beware of the hirelings. They mean you no good. Another young lady, New York City, in one of the assemblies, not in ours, said to me one day, I'm going to seminary. Oh, my. Why are you going to seminary? I want to be a missionary. I said, well, it's a good desire. Some 3 or 4 years later, the same young lady met me and said, I've completed my course. I'm ready to go on the mission field. I said, yes. And now I want to know if you will aid me in my support. I am to help to support you as a missionary? She said, yes. I said, where did you learn that? In the seminary. Now, you know me. My tongue often slips. And instead of calling them seminaries, I call them cemeteries. And that's just about what they are. And they taught her in the cemetery that she had to raise her own support. I said, well, I'll tell you what. You go back to the seminary, tell them to show you, and you show me from the Bible, where you're supposed to raise your own support as God's missionary. And when you do that, I'll consider the matter. That was over 30 years ago. I haven't heard from her. You don't raise your own support. You depend on the Lord. If the Lord is employing you, he'll pay you. But you got to do a good day's job. And he will pay you. I don't like to be personal, but I'm going to be.
I was offered a job as an hireling. Good job. Person said to me, you come over, I lived in New York, come over to Jersey, there's a church there. You will only have to preach once a week, Sunday morning, for 1 hour. That's all. All the other things, the visitation and Sunday school, people will take care of it. All you have to do is preach 1 hour. And we'll give you a house. And we'll give you a car and a chauffeur. And all your children's expenses at school we'll pay. How do you like that? Isn't that pretty good? And as for your salary, it'll be in six figures. And the first figure will not be a one, a two, a three, or a four.
How about?
No, I was about to say, how many of you would say yes, raise your hand, but don't do that.
I said no.
God doesn't do his work that way. Hirelings. Beware of hirelings. Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, verse 8. Thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Why, do you know if I had taken that job, I couldn't preach when I'm preaching here. I have to preach what they want me to preach. Beware of the hirelings. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 3.
Oh, I like this one.
The truth of the matter is I like all of them. How about you?
Yes.
1 Samuel 12 and 3, Samuel speaks and he says, behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose ass have I taken? Whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Whose hand have I received a bribe to blind mine eyes therewith?
Oh, man.
Samuel said, but he didn't take any money from the people. Nehemiah didn't take any money from the people. Paul didn't take any money from the people. And if you are serving the Lord will provide your needs.
You know, I'm just about finished.
But I want to call attention to four scriptures. Because this is what you will find hirelings doing. Altering, distorting the word of God.
I've told you about this one.
He calls himself Reverend Ike. One day we'll speak about that word, Reverend.
Reverend Ike.
Now, my Bible tells me it's in 1 Timothy, or is it 2 Timothy? The love of money is what? Root of all evil.
Mr. Ike says it's not the love of money, it's the lack of money.
Well, I'd be afraid to say that.
God says it's the love of money, and he says it's the lack of money?
I'd be afraid. But that's what they do. Twist and turn the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, please.
Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye take away from it.
Did you hear that? Did you read that? This word is not to be added to, and you're not to take away from it. Now, we have some musicians here. And in music, you have what we call altered chords. And those altered chords really do something. They're very attractive. Most of us have heard of Frédéric Chopin. Composer. You know why his music sounds so good? Because he alters the chords. But this book is not to be altered. And that's what the hirelings do. Chapter 12, please. Verse 32. Verse 32, chapter 12. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. There is a group, came out about 4 or 5 years ago, the Seminar of Five. Anybody here hear the Seminar of Five? Sure. They go back to the New Testament and tell you what the Lord Jesus actually said. Of course, Matthew, Mark, and John were there. But they didn't have good hearing. So this man, thousands of years later, he's going to tell you what Jesus meant and what Jesus said. Altering the word. Be careful of the Bible that you read. Most of those Bibles have altered words. I remember I was about, maybe 16 years old. And there was a new translation put out by Muffet. You probably know of him. And I got it. My father was a great Bible student. And I brought home this Bible and gladly showed him. And I want to tell you, Pop turned to two portions and said, Arthur, be careful. Yeah. The translation altered the truth of God's word. Proverbs chapter 30. Beware of the hirelings. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. Every word. I think it's Darby. I believe I'm right. You know what Darby said? Even the punctuation is pure. Because if you don't punctuate correctly, you'll get the wrong meaning. Even the punctuation is pure. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And that's why all these hirelings
This is a polite grouping. Pardon my use of the word, but they're liars. And I have the authority of the Word of God for it.
Watch these fellows with their new literature. Every week I receive a piece of literature at least once from some hireling.
And all the hireling wants is money. He doesn't want the truth.
Beware, beloved, of what you read. Beware of the commentaries that you study from.
I told you this before. Does anybody here know what window shopping is? You ever heard that expression? Well, when we were small, didn't have money, we'd go down to 125th Street. That was like some of the malls here. And we would window shop. You know how you do that? You just look through the window. I like that. I like that.
That's window shopping.
Now, when you get a commentary, read through the commentary to the Bible. Don't stop at the commentary. He may be wrong. If you find that he confirms what's in the Bible, the Lord bless you, him and the commentary. Commentaries are meant to shed light on the Word of God. They are not meant to stop at the commentary. Remember some years ago, some Jehovah's Witnesses came by. This was in New York. They don't bother me anymore. I straightened out the last one about 4 or 5 years ago. And they have my house marked. They don't come here.
I said to this man, I said, you know, that thing that you call a Bible is really an abomination. That's a disgrace and a dishonor to God.
Well, back in New York, this witness came. And everything I said and everything, he's opening a book. I said, please shut the book. Open the Bible. I don't need. He said, but this book explains the Bible. I said, no. The Bible explains itself. Did you know that? The Bible explains itself. And when you find something in the Bible that doesn't make sense, that you don't understand, look around, search. And you'll find the explanation of that verse.
Add not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Revelation chapter 22:18-19. I testify unto every man that hears the words of this prophecy. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life.
It's a dangerous thing to alter the Word of God. And watch these new Bibles that are coming out. I received one, must be 2 years ago. And according to the, what shall I call them? The authors of this Bible, God is neither male nor female. And so, John 3:16 reads like this. For God the Father and Mother so loved the world. How about it? Beware of what you read, even the Bibles that they're selling. And interestingly enough, a new Bible is coming out every 2 years. Must be something to the Bible, huh? No other, Shakespeare isn't being renewed and published every 2 years.
But every 2 years, there's at least one new edition of the Bible. Beloved, don't let hirelings deceive you. One last scripture, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knows. What I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we.
For, speaking about the false teachers,
such are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves into apostles of Christ. And it's no wonder, for Satan himself disguises himself into an angel of light.
And they go around, Father so-and-so, and Dr. so-and-so, and would-be Reverend so-and-so, and they're going to give light on the Word of God. They are tools of Satan. Be careful whom you listen to. Be careful what you listen to. Take in only the Word of God. There are many hirelings. And it's amazing how they deceive people. I mentioned to you this man called Reverend Ike. Well, I had a patient. Very poor lady. Poor circumstances. So poor that oftentimes I wouldn't even charge her. But of her meager income, she gives a good portion to Mr. Ike. I said, lady, where's your sense? Why would you give him and you need it? And you know how wealthy he is? He's got a home in Los Angeles, California. He's got a home in California. And he has a 7-room apartment in New York City on 153rd Street in St. Nicholas Avenue, because I've seen it. 7-room apartment, he doesn't live in it. What's the 7-room apartment for? His clothes. And here's a poor lady, barely able to make it, giving him money. He should be giving her. Beware of the hirelings. You hear them on the radio. You hear them on TV. Keep with the Word of God. The pure, as my dad used to like to say, unadulterated Word of God. That reminds me, again, when I was small, my mother was, things weren't then like it is now. You see, you'd go to the milk store with a milk can, and the man would dip out of the large container into your milk can. Arthur, go to the store and buy a quart of unadulterated milk. That means milk that has nothing added to it. That's this. Unadulterated Word of God, beloved. Study it. Feed on it. Thrill on it. Enjoy it. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, for joy and rejoicing we bow in thy holy presence. We give thee thanks for salvation. We give thee thanks for who thou art. We give thee thanks for saving us. We give thee thanks for this opportunity that has been ours even this morning to remember the Lord. And then to listen to thy precious word. Dismiss us now, we pray thee, with thy blessing resting upon us. As we give thee thanks, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Beloved, enjoy the book. You don't need the comments. It's all in here. It'll thrill you.